Sarah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Sarah, before you get to the topic of the day, do me a favor, because I'm relatively new to this. Give me a sense of the South African Institute of Race Relations. Who are they? What are they? What do they stand for, etc.?
Okay. It's quite simple. It's been in existence since 1929, and it basically promotes classical liberal values. And so those will include all the freedoms of expression, freedom of religion,
sure,
freedom to work in the way that you want to, freedom to own property, etc. That is the core, if I can put it that, the core purpose of the Institute. And so it's gone through the iterations of the pre, during apartheid and post-apartheid era, and we're still very busy.
Where's the finances from?
The finances have increasingly moved away from sponsorship and such like, and have been moving to a business model where we've actually provided a whole lot of services to the business world and increasingly to individuals. We're really encouraging individuals to sign up for less than $100 a month, trying to get away from relying on other people for our money.
Okay, well, that makes...
The Friedrich Naumann Foundation is otherwise our major sponsor.
It's funny because a word like being liberal, which was something one was so proud of for so many years, almost has become a kind of a swear word in modern day South Africa.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a problem because I think it has origins in America where it moved from the center to describe the left. And we really are talking about the center. Not the right or the left.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, agree with you 100,000,000%. Sarah, so back onto your yes. topic, race and land.
Okay. You know how in 2 years ago, 2016, race and racism became the burning issue of the day.
Sure.
And in this year, land reform has become the burning issue of the day. And a lot of media will refer to both in very hushed and sort of solemn terms as if the failure to agree on everything that the government wants to do is blasphemous. Now, neither issue must be ignored, obviously. But what we found from our experience is that we think both words or both terms have been used as a form of populism to create – well, it's maybe too strong to say a hysteria, but to create a sense that these issues are so, so desperately urgent. And our research doesn't really back that up. We've been doing some field surveys, and we put them essentially in a document called Reasons for Hope, where we do substantial studies on what people are thinking, what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, how things are going. It's to get a sense of, are things going well? Are things going badly? What's going well? What's going badly? Etc.
Yeah.
And we do surveys that are demographically representative. And our 2016 survey – sorry, let me just say one thing. We ask people what is their biggest concern.
Sure.
So they explain it to us. They don't. We don't give them a particular theme. There were 10 issues – and in 2016, jobs was the number one issue at 60% sort of for all groups.
Yeah.
And crime at nearly 30% was the second issue. The penultimate issue, number nine, was racism, including xenophobia, which was a problem for 4.7% of the respondents. And number 10 was drugs and gangs. I think it was 4.2%. Sorry, I've forgotten to make a note. Land in 2016 was not there
even
at
on
all.
The top 10. My goodness.
Yeah.
I would have lost a bet if I was a betting man.
Absolutely. And this is very much a survey of South Africans. Then in 2017, so remember we covered the 2015 year.
Yes.
2017 covered the 2016 year, which of course was the year of Penny Sparrow and everything that followed.
Yes.
Also 10 items, not always entirely the same, but number one was jobs at 40%. Number two on this occasion at 34% was service delivery. Number eight
yes.
racism, including xenophobia, was 6.4%. Racism alone was 3.2%, and land reform was 0.6%.
Wow.
And we've always held that the sort of issues that are at one and two, jobs in particular, almost everything hinges around that. Then our 2018 report, which covered 2017, had number one was jobs at 35%. Number two was education at 27%. Crime came after that. And racism at number 10 was 5%. Improving the provision of affirmative action was 1%. And improving land reform was 1%. Now, obviously, we don't yet know what it's going to look like for in 2019 for the 2018 year. But what I'm trying to illustrate on both points is that the issues that we are being told and are being persuaded are urgent and fundamental to this country. And this is coming out of a government presentation, whether it was Jacob Zuma on white monopoly capital or Cyril Ramaphosa on land reform and changing the constitution, which is an extremely huge step if you don't need to. But those two issues have never been anywhere near the top 10.
It's absolutely remarkable hearing this, because if I had been a visitor from Mars to South Africa, yeah, I would have put land at number one. Well, maybe number two, yeah, after jobs. But I mean, that is the discourse. That's the discussion in the newspaper. So you say it's manufactured and serving people's interests.
I think it started off as basically, you know, I think it's partly a response to pressure. And so it's literally a form of scapegoating. And the media will pick it up, and it suddenly becomes urgent, and they're always sides, one side and another side, and it becomes quite robust and often very unpleasant. But the reality is that it may really not – that's not to say the issues aren't there, but going out to ordinary people, it's jobs, crime, education, and housing.
Sarah, what a mind-blowing discussion. Thank you so much. You have just cast light on so many issues. You know, when your paradigm shifts, well, you've shifted my paradigm. Thank you so much for your time. Hope to chat to you next. In fact, I won't chat to you next week. Kathy Kaler, who will return to this slot.